Thank you, Brother December. I don't know how many of you know it, but Grudzień in the Polish language means December. Now, see, aren't you glad you came? You learned something. And I'm sure we're going to learn something else tonight or this afternoon from our dear brother Sam Christick. He's chosen to speak to us on patience. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to get that right away, but maybe with his help we will have it a little more easily accessible. Brother Sam Christick on patience. God bless.
Thank you, Brother David. How sweet are the moments when we can have the sweet fellowship one with another as we commune with our Heavenly Father and His dear Son through the Spirit and His precious Word. We have not completely unloaded our responsibility last evening, for we still have much love to extend to you. Our Los Angeles Ecclesia, which has moved out from Los Angeles to a new location in Burbank, and they all wish to be remembered to you. And we would like to take this opportunity to invite you to our annual 4th of July convention, which will be held this year at our regular meeting place, which will be in a Masonic temple located on Olive Street in Burbank. Also, we have the love of a dear sister in our class that comes to the meeting every opportunity, even though she is afflicted with emphysema, asthma problem. But she wanted especially to be remembered to you. This is Esther Benda, also her sister Adele Allard. Not forgetting also that the Lord has privileged us to have our daughter with us over the holidays and our grandchildren, and she wanted especially to be remembered to you. That's Pamela Niles, and she lives in Valparaiso, Indiana, and she attends the Gary Ecclesia meetings, which the love has been extended to our convention already. Our text is in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, mainly the 36th verse. This is a beautiful chapter of which the Apostle Paul brings to our attention how that years past the blood of bulls and goats could not bring remission of sin, for it required a corresponding price. And our Lord Jesus willingly left the glory that he had to come down to be that corresponding price. And as you read in the 9th verse of that 10th chapter, and then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And this was his purpose, that he might carry out the Heavenly Father's will. And then the Apostle Paul brings to our attention how that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been given the glorious privilege of entering with him into a new and living way. And he admonishes us that we should continue to draw near to the Lord with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And that also we are to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, realizing that he who had promised will be faithful in continuing to keep that promise. And then in the 35th verse, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." And then the admonition that the Lord gives through the Apostle Paul, "For ye have need of patience, that after having done all, done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For every human being, life today has its bright side, happy moments, and then, bang, comes the dark side. There are times when we reach the heights of our joy, then there are times when there are the depths of sorrow and despair. And these, to a larger or lesser extent, seem to make up the experiences at the present time, to weave, as it were, the web of our character, which flows from the active loom of present-day living, to make it the characters of our lives to be loving and beautiful in the presence of others, that it might please them, or they might be coarse and plain, perhaps unpleasant to others. Then, this according to the skill and the carefulness with which each individual weaves into the threads of their experiences of life. And so the Apostle Paul, while in his day and amongst the brethren, had felt these experiences. It seemed that the Apostle Paul could foresee our present day. Yes, he realized that throughout the continuing of the gospel age, there would be these various experiences that would guide us and lead us through the Spirit and the leading of the Lord. And therefore he was admonished of the Lord to also admonish the Lord's people the need of exercising patience. When we think of this beloved apostle, Paul, amongst all the other apostles, he was perhaps one of the most outstanding characters who had undergone some of the greatest trials, testings, as a faithful footstep follower of Jesus, being chosen as special vessel of the Lord. He indeed had to be proven and tested whether he would be worthy of the Lord's privilege and blessing. Because of all his trying experiences, he indeed had learned the need of patience and how to exercise this quality of grace. Last evening we had brought forth the lesson of mercy, which is also a beautiful grace. And as we are adorned with these graces of the Spirit, we become a jewel in the hand of the Lord. This beloved apostle, most outstanding above all others, next to the Master, who had undergone some of the greatest trials and testings, was indeed grateful for all of his experience. And he realized how much there was a need of exercising this quality of grace. How often he had expressed in his trials and his difficulties that they were but light afflictions, not worthy to be compared with the glory and the privilege that the Heavenly Father had given to him. In the scriptures which were written in Greek, Hebrew, the Greek word hippomone, amrakritima, or Antioch, Anochi. It's hard for one who is not a Greek but a Pole to try to pronounce the Greek words. But I'm sure that you can understand the meaning of them. And these three words in the Greek carry out the thought of patience, as they are translated in our English language. The word makrothema has the thought of patience, which is commonly used in everyday experiences. That is, exercising patience in a manner of forbearing or long-suffering. And we have seen this exercise amongst the business world. The businessmen are told that when they deal with the customer, no matter whether the customer is right or wrong, he has to be considered right and thereby exercise patience to the utmost in their dealings with them. And so we find this word, makrothema, in the translated in English in Romans, the 2nd chapter, verse 4. Also chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 2. Colossians, chapter 1, 11. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm sure there are other scriptures. Then we find the other word, Greek word, hippomone, which has still a deeper or a fuller significance, as it brings to us the thought of not only forbearing and long-suffering, but being able to endure whatever experience we might encounter, whether evil, unjust, or otherwise. We have to learn that we need to take them in a cheerful, willing, and patient manner. And this to all God's children. We'll find that it's very essential, especially as we find ourselves in the midst of everyday cares, perplexities, difficulties. Today we see how little of that grace is in the world. Sure, we all have heard of the experiences of so many dying as a result of impatience. Even on our freeways, if someone becomes impatient, he is willing to take another person's life. That's how difficult it is today. So, in the midst of these cares and perplexities that come to us as children of God, we also must learn in our daily experiences to be able to trust fully. We must be able to possess our souls in His peace, the peace that He had given to us, the peace that passeth all understanding. We are to have the peace of our souls and patience. For God is a God of patience, as it is brought to our attention last evening. And therefore, you and I must wait patiently in our own good and willing way in the Lord. How necessary is the thought, patiently waiting on the Lord. The psalmist David brings this to our attention as we read in Psalm 130th chapter, verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. In His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Yes, we must put all our trust in the Lord. In every experience, in trouble, in sorrow, in distress, in discord, in the strain, vexation. Yes, in every wound that often penetrates sometimes deep into the heart, that makes it almost to the bleeding point. enough threatening to overwhelm the spirit of our hearts and our minds. But let us always remember that He knows. Truly He knows all our needs and our wants. He loves. Yes, He loves us. He has called us to be His sons. And He cares. Oh, how wonderfully He cares for all our needs. I'm sure that we often remember the words of the Master when He raised the question to the disciples, "Are ye able to drink of the cup which my Father had poured out?" Surely Jesus knew that they would have a very difficult time. And then in chapter 16, verse 24, we read, "Then said Jesus to His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." If the loving Master, who was perfect, without sin, undefiled, separate from sinners, He had to be tested. He had to be proven worthy of the privilege that the Father had granted to Him, even though He was willing to carry to the utmost the Father's will. How much more is it for us, you and I, as His brethren? Is it necessary for us to be tested? Therefore, if we exercise patience in a cheerful, enduring manner, it will show forth an element of character that is not only a temporary condition of restraint or action in long-suffering and forbearance, but it would indeed show forth a development of heart character that is pleasing to the Lord. By enduring wrong and the afflictions without murmuring, without complaining, without rebelling, as did our loving Master. For when He was reviled, He reviled not again. But He endured the contradiction of sinners. Remembering also, dear brethren, when you and I were called of God into Christ, we can remember how that faith had first begun to lay the groundwork. And then we began to discover our first need in our acts of, in our toils of life. We found there was a need of something with which to keep ourselves in a cheerful mood under the beginning and the trying experiences of our daily life. We soon began to learn that the quality of grace of which we are considering this afternoon, patience, tends to smooth out the pathway for every other act of our Christian grace. We, as all the children of God who have entered into a race course of the high calling, have found the great need of developing character. This is necessary, for each of us have been invited for a great cause, as great a cause as our loving Master was given, that of the future work of the kingdom. And so in all of our past experiences, I'm sure that we have found that not one step of progress could have been made or gained without first possessing the wonderful quality of great patience, that is, a cheerful endurance. Surely, we would all agree that the quality of grace, this quality of cheerful endurance, can more beautifully adorn our Christian character and glorify the God of all grace and patience. But along this line of patience, there's that all-important quality of grace that stands far above all other graces, and that is love. The Apostle Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 10, as we turn to it, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What a glorious privilege lot is ours. We find this quality of grace, patience, is necessary to all of God's creation of intelligence on any plane. But to you and I, as footstep followers of Christ, as new creatures, it is especially important. It must have its beginning and development soon upon our entering into the race course. Yes, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to run with patience the race set before us. The race of the high calling. And so we have found a great need of developing character. We have found the need of something to which to keep ourselves in a cheerful manner at the very beginning of our experiences. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to run in this race course with patience and cheerful endurance. We have heard, read in the Word, how down through the past ages, God's faithful servants had to exercise also patience in all of their experiences. And the Apostle Paul brings to our attention this beautiful 11th chapter of faith, called the faith chapter, and tells us how that they were examples to us, or examples for us. James likewise, admonishing the Lord's people along the lines of patience, he tells us that we should be established with cheerful endurance. And in the fifth verse, he speaks of the prophets of old who had suffered affliction and of their patience. In the 11th verse, he mentions the patience of Job. Yes, we have read in the book of Job how God had tested Job's patience. Job was a very rich man. He was loved by all that had anything to do in the experience of his life. He was esteemed by many. But when the test came upon him, he lost many of his friends. He lost not only his flock, all that he possessed. His family and friends turned against him. They thought that he must have done something terribly wrong, that God was punishing him. Even his beloved wife told him to curse God and die. How this must have been a trying experience for Job. But in all this, what was Job's reply? We read in the 13th chapter of Job, verse 15. Yea, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Could we also express in our hearts that of Job? But all in his endeavors, his faithfulness, and his patience, it had gained for him not only all that he lost, but a recognition of righteousness in the sight of God. All through the age, God's people must have learned to develop the grace of patience. Because it certainly requires patience today, does it not? It requires patience to deny and to submit to injustice where there is no way of avoiding it. That is, without doing any injury to the Lord's cause or to any of his people. Yes, patience is one of the greatest elements of love. It's love that helps supply this wonderful grace of patience. As you and I have entered the race course, we began to experience the need of exercising this grace. We have learned that we needed it when we first entered the first quarter mark. Did we begin to lack our guard against it? No. We found that it was even a greater need as we reached the second quarter mark and the third quarter mark. We finally reached that last and fourth quarter mark. Ah, now we have reached it where we don't no longer need this grace. Ah, that would be a tragic thing if we let go of our guard. For we need it even that much more when we reach that last quarter mark of love for God. And the love for our loving Master who had loved us willingly, give up the glory that he had. Love for our brethren who sacrificed their all that you and I might be a blessing. Yes, we are to have a love, especially for the world of mankind, the groaning creation. Who else can comfort them? Who else can have pity and love for the groaning creation of mankind? We are to hand out our sympathy, our love, our helping hand for them. Oh, what about those who despitefully use us? Those who we might call our enemies. Yes, even there. It's a difficult task to love someone who would do injury to us, who we see creating such havoc amongst others in mankind. Yet we are to exercise a compassionate love for them. In the parable of the sower, as we read in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 to 15, there the Master gave us a lesson of how the sowing of the seed was to be accomplished. There we learned that the seed that fell upon the rock sprouted up with joy. But soon when the sun of the day came out, they soon withered away because the various trials and temptations and testing were too difficult. They lacked to exercise
cheerful endurance.
And so we see from the experience of the lesson of the sower, of the seed that was sown on good ground and the rocky soil. So we see that the children of God, this quality of grace is not merely an outward adornment, for it is the fruit of the Spirit that must be developed and grow. And this can only be done with the results of our coming into fellowship with our God, who is the God of patience. Romans 15, chapter and verse 5. For we soon learn that the seed that fell upon the good ground brought forth fruit with patience. Jesus shows to us how that God is seeking such that have the good ground quality, the seed of patience, that might become deep-rooted so as to endure all opposition cheerfully, which is so needed in our race course for the high calling. And so the Apostle Paul exhorts us that after having done all, after having reached that final quarter mark, to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, the test is not whether one can reach that mark, but after having reached it, to be able to stand and continue in patience. James also tells us in the first chapter and fourth verse, let patience have her perfect work, or to perfect her work. And that is to demonstrate that we have this character and qualification of love for God. That we are willing to endure patient, cheerfully. The test that the Heavenly Father permits to come upon us, in order that you and I might be proven. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. And so therefore, with the exercising of patience, with cheerful endurance and meekness, we are able to carry off or guard against the human weakness. And with much pain are able to strive to attain that glorious divine likeness. We soon learn to become slow to wrath or anger. And we seek quick to look for the paths of righteousness and to walk in them in a patient way. And we are, that we might be able to understand not only our weaknesses, but we are to understand and appreciate the shortcomings, the imperfections of others around us. Realizing one's own perfection, one is able to be sympathetic and be willing to assist his other fellow man, and you and I, our brethren, in cheerful endurance. And so as we are admonished to run with patience, we are also admonished to work our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We must realize that the Lord does not want us to literally tremble with fear before Him. Rather, we are to exercise much carefulness, realizing our great responsibility and the liableness of our failing to meet all the requirements unless we give our most earnest attention in all this work, in our carrying out the will of God. For we realize that it is God who is working in us to carry out His will and His good pleasure. But you and I are to cooperate in this work by a perfect submission to the divine will in a cheerful manner. We should not be rebellious. Whatever the Lord might permit us to experience, as the Apostle Peter tells us, even the trying, fiery experiences that has come upon us to try us. For our consecration, when accepted, must be proven, whether it is real, immovable, to the extent that we love Him and are willing to lay down our lives and suffer opposition cheerfully with our loving Master. We are to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father as we endure our trials and oppositions. For if we should ever be in an unhappy frame of mind in all the experiences that the Lord permits to come upon us, become dissatisfied, discontent, and if we should rebel, surely we could not be copies of God's dear Son. For His desire was, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. And this should be our desire. So we all must have experiences. They are to try us, that we might endure them faithfully, that we might enter the race course with joy and gladness. We have a beautiful illustration of the potter and the work in his hands. That great potter is our Heavenly Father. He is making you and I to be His glorious vessels, that He might use us as vessels unto honor. And therefore, it behooves us that we might carry out our responsibilities faithfully, joyfully, as did our Master, as did the Apostle Paul, who were such wonderful examples to us, and also of the faithful ones of old, and all the apostles. And we have one another to share with one another, to help one another, to comfort one another in all our experiences. And I'm sure those who have undergone the various afflictions, even as I have, how much I have felt your love, your prayers. And this is so much appreciated. I'm sure that those who have gone through the experiences, it is this wonderful, precious truth, this faith that sustains us. It is the joy that the Heavenly Father set before us, as He did to His Son, that keeps us continuing on, as Brother Tom Fay would say, that we should press on, continue keeping on. And may the Lord richly bless each of you. I'm sure that there's much joy in your heart, as there is in mine, to be together at the close of a year of 1987, which was experienced with many rich blessings, many trying experiences. But yet, the Lord is upholding our hand, and may the year of 1988 continue to be our faithfulness in keeping the will of the Heavenly Father utmost before us. Let us be patient in all our ways.
Thank you, Brother Sam. On the lesson on patience, we know it's very important in the Christian's walk. Some time ago, Shirley made a little plaque of needlepoint expressing a thought that Brother Sam mentioned in his lesson, that patience smooths the way for every other grace. And it's a very true saying, part of a reprint article that we studied one time. We thank the Brother Sam for the lesson on patience and hope it will help us in the years ahead. We have a couple of announcements. We want you to remember there are letters to be signed at a desk in the dining room for those brethren who could not be here. And I know for a fact that those letters are a great blessing to those who receive them when they come from a convention like this with many names on them. So be sure to add your name onto the card, whether you know the person or not. In fact, it will be a kind of a stimulus to the individual to have your name on there. If they don't know it, next time they're going to look for you to see, who is that David Bruce that signed this card? So take advantage of that opportunity of a little service. The baptismal service will be at a nearby church on Sunday, and a revised Sunday program will be announced later. Let Brother Gaddy or Brother Hersher know if you would like to be immersed at that baptismal service, please. And there's also a camera that was found in the ladies' room, restroom, so if it is yours, please claim it at the book table, and next time, put your name inside and on the camera. It's a good idea. That way it's a lot easier to find who it belongs to, all right? We're hoping it belongs to someone here. Does it belong to someone here right now? Oh, okay. We found the party. Thank you. 3:15 and then start Brother Balko's talk at 3. The program is a slight misprint. 3:15 will be our next meeting.
Almighty, divine, and gracious Heavenly Father, as children come into thy hallowed presence, in the precious name of our sweet and loving Savior, thy dear Son, we desire to reverence thy holy name, realizing that thou art the great giver of every good and perfect gift. Thou hast blessed us with the gift of being in thy presence, the privilege of having sweet fellowship one with another, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May thy spirit and thy love continue to abide with us. May our hearts be filled with gratitude of praise and thanksgiving for all thy loving kindness. We are thankful, dear Father, of thy loving care upon all thy dear people, in a special way those who are going through trying experiences, many loved ones, and whose hearts are troubled. We realize, dear, that thou love will be there to give them the grace sufficient in every need. And we thank thee for these precious promises. May thy love continue to abide as we continue to wait before thee at this convention. We thank thee for every privilege that is ours. And we praise thee and ask forgiveness of our many failings and shortcomings. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.